Exodus chapter 14, verses 10 through 18. I want us to look there, and I'm going to read to you while you're standing. Today we're standing on the edge of the Red Sea. Actually, in translation, is the Sea of Reeds. And as we stand on the edge of this sea today, we have just been delivered. We're tired, we're exhausted. We've left the land of Egypt, and we've done so in a very peculiar way. We've left the land of Egypt with our children. We've left with our parents. We've left with our livestock. We had nothing, but yet, by God's word, Moses instructed us to ask of our neighbors for gold and silver and garments, and they gave it to us in abundance. And so we're carrying loads of wealth as we've left the land of Egypt. We stand on the edge of the Red Sea, and we come to the realization is that Pharaoh has had a change of heart, and he's pursuing us with all of his armies. Now, as we think of this, to say, well, how frightening can that be? They were coming with chariots. And in this day and age, the chariots were a sign of great, massive military power. And for many nations, it was unstoppable. And definitely for the nation of Israel, as slaves with no ability to fight, they are at a dead end. But as they stand here, they're facing their deepest fears. Have you had those fears? Maybe it's a sickness of a loved one that you're going to have to grapple with. Maybe it's addictions that you're afraid that it's going to eventually win out. Maybe it's difficulties of your own health. Maybe it's difficulties of a prodigal child that just simply won't come back. What are those greatest fears that you're grappling with right now? You can relate to the Israelites today. But sadly enough, they give in to those fears. Let me read to you in our text today in Exodus 14, verse 10, as he says, "And when Pharaoh drew near, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. So they were very afraid. And the children of Israel cried out to the Lord. Then they said to Moses, 'Because there were no graves in Egypt, have you taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you so dealt with us to bring us up out of Egypt? Is this not the word that we told you in Egypt, saying, "Let us alone that we may serve the Egyptians, for it would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness."'" A cry of desperation. Can you agree? Have you ever been to a point that you just insisted that this is the worst thing that could have possibly happened, and so we might as well give up and go back to our sinful lifestyle? I have. I've been tempted to give in to those temptations. I've been tempted to just throw it all away, but yet God's Spirit continues to deal in our hearts and warn us, stay home. Stay with me. Stand still. Let's bow our heads to this morning as we ask the blessing of God's written word. Father, we are standing here today before you, not because we have a strength of our own, but Lord, we stand here because, Lord, we are in need of you. Lord, you know the hearts of each one. Maybe there's someone that's crying out to you with the same words today. Didn't I just tell you to leave me alone? I didn't want to step out in faith. I didn't want to do all that you had for me to do because I knew the problems were coming. And Lord, these are real trials that we're faced with today. These are real hurts that your people are struggling with today. So Lord, we're asking that you would intercede in this message today. You would open the words of your word in the Bible, that it would be real to us today, that we might be found faithfully standing. As we await your power, as we await your directive, as we await your summons today, that we may stand in wait of the great and glorious God, that he's the only one that can deliver us. And Lord, that's you. And we know that's you. But Lord, we've got a lot of fears that are fighting us today. And Lord, we're asking that you will claim victory over those fears that each and every one has today. Help us to see once and for all that you truly are the answer. You're the only answer that we need. And all we need to do is stand in faithfulness, trusting and waiting upon you. Lord, overcome those fears of your people today. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. As we have come to the crossing of the Red Sea, they have journeyed just a short distance. As we look in chapter 13, we find that there were places that they could have took a more direct route. That would have been a shorter trip. It would have been an easier trip. But because they were not a people that were able to defend themselves, God did not want to take them through the land of the Pharisees that there may turn on them. I mean, in all honesty, when we think about 2 to 3 million people that are leaving the nation of Israel, if they just kind of showed up on the edge of your community, wouldn't you be a little concerned? Or like, wait a minute, what is your intentions? Things would be a little tense. And so he knows that they would have possibly a temptation to return. So he leads them into a place that they're more or less hemmed in. When they're here on the edge of the Red Sea, the land has them hemmed in that they can't turn one way or the other, but they are right where God wants them to be. You know, as you look at the difficulties and challenges that you're faced with today, often we wonder, why is it that God put me here at this time in this place when he knew that he could have spared me this difficulty? Have you ever been there? Maybe you're there today. The reality is as we follow the Lord, he puts us right where we want to be. And yes, sometimes those are places of glorious memory that we think that those were the best of days. And other times, they're not the best of days. Ask Jonah. One of my favorite cartoons is just simply in a subscription or inscription. A guy's holding a candle and he's trying to read this map, and it's a picture of a great big whale, and it says, "You are here," right in the middle of the whale. Now, we know it wasn't exactly a whale, it was a great fish. But you know, sometimes we have to come to the realization is that God has me right where he wants me to be. Whether it's to open my eyes, soften my heart, or simply just to prove that he is God and he is God alone. Folks, we often claim that he is the Lord Jesus. We often claim that he is the God of our life, of our finances, of our home, our all that we have, but yet we don't allow him to have everything and making him definitively the one and only one in control. And as he's leading the children of Israel, he's looking at the realities is that he's still proving. You notice that all throughout the scripture, he's still proving to Pharaoh that he is the one true God. He is still proving to them that there is no other gods. There is no other opportunities to be delivered. But only God of Israel is that one true God. And now he's even proving to the Israelites is that he can deliver them. Now, we would look at this a little confusingly because we think that why is it that they would want to go back? That's our first point today, is that our overcoming the fear. Why is it that they would cry out to the Lord? Well, number one, they're scared and thank the Lord they're calling to the right one. Amen? But sometimes fear will cause us to do foolish things. Fear causes us to forget things. Fear causes us to step back, if you will, from what we know is to be true, and trying to retreat into what is familiar. Are you with me? Why in the world would they ever say and remind Moses, who has been leading them as God has directed, has been faithful in that leadership, and then yell out in your time of struggle at the pastor, "Why have you done this to me?" It's exactly what they said to Moses. Isn't that ironic? It's easy and ironic when we look back. But when we're right in the middle of the situation, it's a struggle, isn't it? It's a struggle. And so they cry out, "Why had you not just left us in Egypt? At least they could have buried us respectfully there." I want you to think back and we reflect. They would not have had respect when they died in Egypt, right? They were slaves. They were throwaways. They were of no value. It was just what they were gaining from them was the only value that they had. They had forgotten what God had done. They had forgotten of all that had really transpired. They began to rewrite history of what it really was. Fear causes us to run to places that begin to distort what God has done. When we allow fear to guide us, or we begin to respond in fear, we forget some things. What is that we forget? We forget where we've come from. As they look back to Egypt, they were trying to say and glamorize that it was a great thing. You remember as we begin to look at the scriptures that it is something that we're able to spiritualize and compare to our lives today, right? As we see Egypt as a picture of our sinful life, it's the old life, and that we as God's people have trusted the Lord Jesus through salvation by looking upon the cross of Calvary, realizing that Jesus died for our sins. It was my sin that put him there. He didn't go there because he had any sin, but it was my sin that put him there. When he died, he paid the penalty. He took the punishment of my sin upon himself so that I might go free. When I trust in the name of the Lord Jesus, make him Lord and Savior of my life, I leave my life. That is what repentance is. I'm turning from my sin and turning to Christ and follow him. And in that, we are living, we are leaving that lifestyle. We're leaving Egypt to follow the Lord Jesus as our own. And in that, we see that times we look back at the past and say, you know, maybe that lifestyle wasn't that bad. And we forget the pain of sin that it had brought to our lives. Are you with me? Fear can cause us to forget where we've come from. Have you forgotten where you come from? Have you forgotten where God has brought you to and the growth and the deliverance that he has brought to you? As they were in Egypt, we watched God have and exercise surgical precision as he poured out judgment upon Egypt and upon Pharaoh, but yet he spared his children. They forgot all of that, didn't they? They forget because of time? No, they forgot because they were scared to death. And folks, one of the purposes that we come together and we come together collectively is that we remind one another where we have come from and where God is leading us. Amen? There are times and things in our community that cause great fear, but yet when we come together, we blend our hearts together, we bear those burdens together, but we go to the one and the only one that can give us the direction and the leadership that we need. And that's the Lord Jesus. First, also, not only fear keeps us forgetting of where we've come from, but it also causes us to forget where we were headed. Now, in the principles of what we're looking at today, they find themselves trapped, if you will, on the edge of the Red Sea. And they think that this is the end. They think that this is what God has, well, I guess it's all going to be over right here and now. When they've forgotten God's promises is that this is not the end. Amen? And so where you're at today, as we look at the difficulties and challenges that are facing us, this is not the end. Amen? God still has a plan of delivering us fully and completely into his presence in a place called heaven. Why? Because he's promised those things. He has promised those things. And so therefore, he is able, he is capable of taking us home. Fear begins to cause us to forget where we are headed. Fear should never cripple us in our walk with the Lord. They had to make some tough decisions here, didn't they? As they were standing there, they were having to make a decision. Do we run? Well, they couldn't run, could they? Do we blame someone? Yes, we blame someone. Moses, why did you bring us out here? But here's the reality. God knew each and every heart that stood there that day. God knew the hearts of the young people that were wondering, I'm confused. I don't know what's really going on. Why is everybody upset? Why is mom and dad upset? Why are they throwing a fit? Why are they mad at Moses? I thought Moses was the greatest guy ever. There's a lot of confusion, but yet God knew how to comfort those hearts as well. Some were probably angry, wouldn't you say? Maybe some of the men were like, how in the world could you not have enough foresight to put my family into this dangerous of a position? How dare you? You've lost all my respect. There were probably some that were very angry. Wouldn't you agree? Maybe there were some mothers that were just distraught. I don't know what we're going to do. How am I going to comfort these children in such a terrible time? Well, guess what? We don't allow fear to cripple. Amen? This isn't the end. This isn't God's fully plan. He's not done with us yet. And aren't you thankful for that? That God is not done. He continues to work even in our times of fear and even when we give in to that fear. Amen? When we're living in fear, we need to bring that fear to the immovable, unchanging, ever-loving, ever-merciful God. Because often that fear begins to speak lies into our hearts and thinking, I'm not worthy to go to God. I'm not worthy to call upon Him. He's not going to love me. Look at what a mess that I am. I can't even stand myself. Why would I go to God? Because you have nowhere else to go. Because no one loves you like He does. Why would you go to God? Because He's taking care of you already. You with me? We should not allow the fear to drag us away from the one who loves us and will deliver us. God will call His people to take courage and to trust Him in their weakest of moments. Secondly, we need courageous leaders, don't we? Verses 13 to 14. And Moses said to the people, do not be afraid. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which He will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians who you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you. You shall hold your peace. Oh, isn't that comforting words coming from a leader? Do not be afraid. Now, often if we're allowing the fear speaking in our ears louder and causing that confusion, we may be thinking that, wow, what kind of ridiculous statement is that? Do not fear. Moses has a message, doesn't he? Moses has a message of the courage that we need to take in the Lord today. He has a message that God is able and He is a witness to the power of God. I want you to think that as we look at this, how is it that Moses found this strength? Was there some secret place that he had gained that courage? Is there some secret message that God had sent him and nobody else? No, my friend. At this point, we see that God was already leading the children of Israel, and now the pillar of cloud during the day was guiding them and shadowing them. And then the pillar of fire at night to watch over and to give them light and give them protection. And at this point, it had moved behind them, between them and the armies of Egypt, to give them protection. Moses is simply looking around and seeing all that God has already been doing. You remember, this is the same man that as he was coming to understand God and falling in love with his people and with his nation, that he began to separate himself from Egypt and claim himself as a Hebrew child of God. And so, as we see that he was a man not without mistakes, as he grew and became a man, we see that he saw a slave being beaten, which was a fellow Hebrew, that he killed the Egyptian soldier. Then it was something that he had to run from. Goes into the wilderness. At this point, he's tending sheep. He's got his own family. He's comfortable. And then when he comes to the burning bush, he debates God at every turn. He resists the call of God at the burning bush. And yet God's power over and over begins to prove to Moses, this is the task. Here's my name. Here's your message. Here's your mission. And here's your promise. Are you with me? You remember those points? We've been given those things as God's people as we watch Him growing us, proving to us that He is able, no matter where we find ourselves, He is able to bring us through. That's the courage we gain as we step by step are faithful to Him. And as Moses resisted for a while, he realized that God is going to have His way. He surrenders to His plan. He surrenders to the message, delivers the word of God, watches God deliver them from Egypt. And as they're walking out of Egypt, comes to the realization, how great is our God? Why? Because step by step, He asks me to trust Him, to believe in Him. And as He works in and through our lives, we grow to a place that we finally realize we need to stand here. God's going to show up. When He says to stand still, He's calling us to dig in, to take a position. You know, when I think of this, I always think back when I was watching Westerns with my grandpa. And we'd watch this Western. Cowboys had surrounded this Indian, and he's not giving up. And he did the weirdest thing. You know, as a kid, I'm watching. He drives a stake in the ground. He ties his leg to it, and he's got nothing but a knife, and he's going to stand there and fight. And I'm like, Grandpa, what is he doing? Grandpa said he has great pride and he feels that what he's fighting for is worth dying for. And I'm thinking, you know, as a kid, I'm thinking, wouldn't it be better if he just run off and go get some more Indians to defend himself? He says, no, because he believes in what he's fighting for. And, you know, as a kid, that really stuck in my head. Because then we kind of started, Grandpa very well as a pastor, began to tie in the Christian principles. Is that we stand for what is true. We stand for what God has deemed for us to stand on. Amen? And we stand there no matter the cost. We stand there because He calls us to. Psalm 46:10, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in all the earth. There's times that fear tries to convince us that we're the only one standing. We're the only one that is trying to stand upon what is true. But the reality is, He is already the Lord of all, heaven and earth. He has already claimed victory. He has all power and all authority. We're simply standing upon what is already established. We're not waiting for God to prove it. We're standing because He has proved it. Amen? We're not waiting for Him to do something else. We're responding to what He's already done. We need leaders today that are willing to lead without compromise, willing to lead not based upon the numbers that attend, not based upon man's approval, but we will submit to the will of God and we will seek God's approval. How did Moses strengthen his people? He called them to look to the Lord. He called them to trust in the Lord. He called them to stand still and watch. This was a learning moment, isn't it? Folks, I'm telling you, at our most fearful times and the most fearful moments is a time for us to grow. Often we beat ourselves up and say, oh, why am I so weak? Why do I keep giving in? Because we are flesh. Trust not in the arm of flesh, for it will fail you. That's your flesh and others around you. We're going to fail, amen? But God will not. God will not fail in all that He has and has sent us to do. In Exodus 14, verse 14, it says, the Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. You ever had to tell your kids at one time or another, say, okay, you just need to calm down and stop talking so I can explain something to you. Oh, the hysteria is just out of control. Can you agree? Sometimes we're kind of in that way in our society today. In fact, it's being perpetuated. The hysteria is being perpetuated. Oh, this is terrible. Oh, this is going to get worse. And oh, this is bad. And oh, there's nowhere for you to go. And it just continues to grow and mound and mound and mound. And the reality is sometimes we just got to go to our prayer closet and say, God, here's all my anxiety. Here's all my fears. I'm just going to stand here and wait for you to give me direction. You know what's concerning me. You know what I don't have control of, but I know you do. And so once we decide that, where do we stand? Well, I'm glad you asked me. That's my third point. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 13 through 17. How is it that we stand? How is it that we somehow pull all this together? We set aside the emotion of all things and the lies that fear just keeps feeding us. We decide that we have to stay. We know that we have to stay. You know, trying to run from the Lord just never works, honey. You know? All you got to do is read the scriptures and see. So why is it that we're running? And so once we resolve that, He says, now you stand and you stay. Where do we stand? What does that look like in the believer's life today? What does that look like? Because often people think that, well, that means I just need to be stoic. I have no emotion. I have no feeling. It's not what God's calling us to do. But rather, He's teaching us how to keep those emotions under His control when they're not in our control. You with me? He's helping us to take that fear that is very real and not just living in a utopia world of making up our own world that we're living in, but yet taking the real world that we're living in and saying, God, what can I do with these things? What is it that You're wanting to work in and through me in these situations that seems impossible to me, but yet You've told me to stay, You've told me to be quiet and stand and watch. I'm waiting. I'm dug in, Lord. I'm taking the barrage of all that I'm dealing with, so how do I endure this time of trial? We put on the armor of the Lord. we put on all the armor of the Lord. You notice that? Verse 13, he says, therefore take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Folks, he gives us all that we need to stand and to stand strong in him. As we take upon us the very armor of God, we're taking upon us the very character of God, the truths of God's Word, and the salvation that he brings, the righteousness. Remember, we talked about the righteousness is not our own righteousness, but the very righteousness of Christ. We are taking that as our protection, as our shield, and we hold upon that, that all that he has done is going to bring us through. Do you see how faith works? It continually turns from us and our abilities and what the world is doing, and it turns to what God is doing. At this point, the Israelites, as they stood on the edge of the Red Sea, they were just convinced that God just led them into a dead end and we're going to die right here. But in reality, he didn't want to send them to the cities of the Pharisees. He was concerned for their safety. He was concerned that they would give up and go back. He knows them. He knows their hearts. So he leads them into the most difficult situation. And he says, now, you're right where I can teach you and show you how glorious I really am. Folks, as you're sitting here today, you're in that place. And God says, I got you right where I want you. Now, is this to say that you're never going to make a mistake again? No, because more than likely when you say, okay, Lord, I've failed you so many times before, but I'm going to dig in. I'm going to be faithful to you. I'm going to stand strong for you. And you know what? It might last for a week. It might last 2 days. And then we fall. So what do? Do we give up? No. Nope. We stand still and we behold the salvation of the Lord. Why? Because he is going to fight for you. You come back and you claim the victory that he has already given his children. How do we stand? We stand in the truths of God's word. We prepare the gospel of peace. You know what, folks? Many times we have trouble sharing the gospel because we haven't made preparations of sharing what Jesus has done in our lives. And then one thing that we forget is the word of God. The sword of the Spirit is our only defense, but it is also our only offense. Where is it that we're going to find this strength? As we faithfully trust in the Lord, as we stand in faithfulness to the Word, as we stand in faithfulness in our homes and our communities and in the workplace, as we stand with a fellowship of other believers called the church, where will we find this strength? God reveals it to his children. Psalm 77, verse 19 and 20. Your way was in the sea, your path in the great waters, and your footsteps were not known. You led your people like a flock by the hand of Moses and Aaron. The psalmist looks back of what God had done, and he says, we come to realize that under the sea where no one could see or understand, you had a path, you had a highway prepared for your people to bring a great deliverance. Folks, we need to pray and ask God to reveal to us those paths that he has prepared for us to walk and that we'll faithfully walk them. Church, we're living in a time that we need to be that example. We need to be displaying that leadership. Deacons, teachers, elders, we need to be those leaders that are looking to the Lord. Where is it that God is calling you to take a stand? I've covered a lot of area. I've covered a lot of things of our community and at home. But maybe you need to take that stand in your personal life today. Maybe you need to take that stand in some of those things that You need the Lord to claim victory over in your life today so that you can go into the community, that you can go to the workplace, that you can go home, whole, ready. Ready to be that one to lead. Ready to be the one to take that stand quietly, but boldly, waiting for God's direction and an answer. Where do you need to stand in your spiritual life today?